So chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naam's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Let us pray. Dearly Father, I just thank you for bringing missionary Bert Campus back into our midst and to allow him to come and share with us today. And I just pray that as a church, we will open our hearts and be able to listen well to what Bert has to share with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Everybody awake? Great. I don't know how many years I've been coming here, but I'm getting older. And but it's been great to see you and be here, and also in the middle of Missions Fest, where yesterday we couldn't even find a seat in our seminar room called Thinking Outside the Window, focusing on international students. Every seat was occupied as people came to hear and see how they can get involved and learn of the latest statistics that were going out. And I guess I came here probably all close to 10 or 11 years ago, maybe even 12 years ago, that I was coming to this church from Kamloops because of Sabrina Bach, who invited me, and we shared the needs when we were in Kamloops. And little did I realize that I was sharing the needs of Kamloops and trying to get people excited in Vancouver, but it was 4 years ago that God led us here to Vancouver. And we're just blessed to see what God has done in the 4 years. And this church has been one of the first churches that embraced this ministry, that helped, that encouraged us, that gave. Thank you so much. You sent teams to Kamloops. Actually, Kamloops sent 8 young people from Kamloops this weekend just to Missions Fest. They're here right now. One of them, the girls are all being hosted by our Russian student from Moscow, who moved here as well from Kamloops. And she took all the girls in her place. And she's an international student, just got baptized a few months ago in Kamloops. But it's just amazing how God has brought the world here. And you have said, "We are going forth to the nations." You just sang it in your song. Well, the nations are here. UBC has alone 150 nations represented. So you just take your pick, which one, and that's it. And then 4 years ago, Angus Chan, also from this church, had been on my, probably fairly new Christian, had just written me a letter because she says, "One little small act." He wrote me a letter. What in the world was I going to do in Vancouver? I says, "Well, I need coffee with you. You're Vancouver?" "Yeah," he says, "I'm a student. You'd be S of U." So I said, "Let's have coffee." Well, he was the one that really was the initiator and was willing to be to actually become the first president of our club in SFU. And through that, of course, hundreds and hundreds of students have been reached with the gospel. So we're just going to watch a little clip because Angus is not here very often anymore. Actually, he's preaching this morning in North Vancouver Pacific Grace Church. And so he's there with another student from India this morning. And I brought a beautiful student here from Japan this morning, Suski. Stand up and let's welcome her this morning. Yes. Okay. Just listen for a moment as we, because you support him, you pray for him, and he wants to share. He could be here. If he was here, he would share these words. So let's listen for a few minutes. To this global, in national, all over the world, I'll tell him you gave him a hand. Thank you. In your bulletin, you have the outline, and if you want to follow along, you can. It's also going to be on PowerPoint this morning. One small act equals mad. One small act equals mad. Well, Angus did a small act. He just asked me what I was planning to do in Vancouver, and he wrote in response to my newsletter. Some of you got the newsletter this morning. It's a couple of weeks. It's a few weeks old. I wrote it just before Christmas. On the back, you have a picture of Pablo getting baptized, and that was in December. And he's the Mexican guy that's been here before. The little guy, you can hardly see him if he doesn't stand on the chair. But as Angus said, he's going to be here on the February the 9th. And he was helping all day at Missions Fest yesterday. It's really exciting to see him grow. But why is he not here today? I wanted him here today. Well, he's attending the baptism of two more of our students getting baptized in the same pool at SFU today. And that's exciting because they just a few weeks ago, they weren't even believers. And they come from China. And they went to the Power to Change conference in Calgary at Christmas time, and through that and through our efforts, they made decisions to follow Jesus Christ. And today they're publicly declaring their stand for Christ. This morning I would be there this morning if I wasn't here, just to support them. But we have lots of our people there, so praise God for what's happening as people are learning to follow Christ. I guess I need to get into this message this morning, if I'm going to get through by 11 o'clock, and I'm known to be a little bit long-winded sometime, and can't do that in a Chinese church, because there's too many services going on. So I'd like to share with you a story just before we go into the outline I was so touched by that came into the book. What is that? Those soup kitchen books? Chicken Soup for the Soul. Chicken Soup for the Soul. True story about Mark and Bill. Mark was walking home from school one day when he noticed a boy ahead of him had tripped and dropped all his books he was carrying, along with two sweaters, a baseball bat, a glove, and a small tape recorder. Mark knelt down and helped the boy pick up the scattered articles. Since they were going the same way, he helped to carry part of the burden. As they walked, Mark discovered the boy's name was Bill, that he loved video games, baseball, and history, that he was having a lot of trouble with his other subjects, and that he had just broken up with his girlfriend. They arrived at Bill's home first, and Mark was invited in for a Coke and watched some television. The afternoons passed pleasantly with a few laughs and some shared small talk. Then Mark went home. They continued to see each other around school, had lunch together once or twice, and they both graduated from junior high school. Well, it's kind of young to have a girlfriend at that time, right? But anyway, they ended up in the same high school where they had brief contacts over the years. Finally, the long-awaited senior year came 3 weeks before graduation. Bill asked Mark if they could talk. Bill reminded him of the day years ago when they first met. "Do you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things home that day?" asked Bill. "You see, I cleaned out my locker because I didn't want to leave a mess for anyone else. I had stored away some of my mother's sleeping pills, and I was going home to commit suicide. But after we spent some time together talking and laughing, I realized that if I killed myself, I would have missed that time and so many others that might follow. So you see, Mark, when you picked up my books that day, you did a lot more. You saved my life. You saved my life." Wow. Sometimes we don't know the simple gesture of a small act and what it can do for a person's life, like a smile, like a hug. In fact, we have there is a little book of stories. Is it over there? It might be. No, not that one. There one. That one. There might be. Or I didn't bring it. Oh, right here. We have a few of these books in the hall attached to here called Treasures of His Grace. And one of those stories is about a girl who's now one of our leaders, student at UBC, one of our leaders, but it was a hug, just a hug, that made a huge difference in her life as she was just learning to discover who Jesus was. And somebody in a church hugged her. She had never been hugged in her life, even from her own family. And when she got that hug, it was an affirmation that this was the journey she was to go on. A hug. Can you hug? Can you smile? Can you say hello in Japanese or Chinese? Konnichiwa. You make sure you do that when you get after the service. And I need someone to just give me a little cup of water because I forgot to ask for that. So you'll get your blessing as well, maybe when you get to heaven. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. So there is Martin Luther King, I believe, is the first thing on the PowerPoint, if we have it. Martin Luther King said, if we can find my PowerPoint outline there somewhere, one small act. Everyone can be great because anyone can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. That's great for me. My English is very poor. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Martin Luther King. Still not onto that PowerPoint. That's okay. I know it's in it's in your outline in the bulletin, so that's good. So let's look at this passage this morning. But I use Hebrews chapter 12 as a basis for this chapter, because Hebrews chapter 12 follows Hebrews 11 in God's word. And Hebrews 11 is full of people that are called heroes of the faith. Heroes of the faith like Abraham and Moses and Nehemiah. And great heroes of the faith like Andrew, who just brought a glass of water. And I knew it's Chinese because it's hot. Thanks. So you have not learned to adjust to the Canadian culture. Okay, that's okay. I'll survive. So chapter 11 is those heroes of the faith, Abraham and all those great guys. And then in the first verse in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us." And so Paul is telling these people, and he's telling us, that there is a race that we're on. There's a race that all of us are on as believers. We're running that race. The Olympics, the Winter Games, are starting in a few weeks or less. They're starting. People are going to be on a race. Downhill skiing. They're going to be on a race, skating around a rink. They're going to be on a race. What are the people going to be doing? Their family, their friends are there. What are they going to do? Are just going to stand there and not make any noise? No, they're going to make a lot of noise because they're going to cheer those people on. Their family, their friends are going to cheer those people on, right? And so Paul says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. This morning, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I was at Missions Fest. I was surrounded by all these people that are running the race for missions, that are on the front lines in Cambodia and China and Ukraine and Mexico and all these places. We're surrounded by them. I'm surrounded by my staff that are serving God on the front lines on university campuses. I'm surrounded by them. I'm surrounded by students that were giving up their time yesterday just to be at the table and talk to people. I'm surrounded. I'm surrounded by many prayer partners and friends that encourage me as I write these newsletters, that pray for me. And so we have this crowd of witnesses. You're on a race. Some of your family have sacrificed and praying for you, and people are thinking of you. You're surrounded by witnesses. What are they saying? Well, they want to cheer you on. They want to share some lessons maybe that they have learned. And this passage in 2 Kings chapter 5, we are surrounded by a little girl. And what can a little girl teach us? I think she wants to teach us something this morning. Who is this girl? She's coming up as you're on this race. She's coming up to you. You've run with Nehemiah. You've run with Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. And this little girl is coming with the humblest of clothing. And who is this girl? Her answer is simple. I am a servant of a mistress in the house of Naaman. You need to know, she says, you need to know this morning, one small act can make a big difference. That is what this little girl is going to teach us today. So before we get to the outline, I just give you that we read the passage from Nahum, the Old Testament. So this guy was in a different country. This girl was a slave owned by him. So she had been captured. No, this guy who captured her was an outstanding general. He was a leader of the Syrian army. He was a great warrior. If there's been a who's who in Syria, his name would have been at the top of the list. But there was one stain on his resume. He was a leper. For him to have achieved and maintained this position as a military commander, despite this affliction, he must have possessed unmatched skill. And what do you think was going through her mind when she first came to this house, this foreign land? She said, I was very unhappy, she says. I had grown up in Samaria, the capital of Israel, but I was forced into slavery, into a strange house, in a strange land, with a strange language. I had to learn to make the best of it. Fortunately, my mistress was very nice. She took care of me. But my master was different. Not unkind, but he was not very warm either. In my country, he would have been an outcast with his disease. But here he rose in rank and people still rejected him. Maybe that's why he seemed happiest when he was in war, where he excelled. When he was home, he kept to himself. Often he was very sick, and all his servants worried about his health and took care of him. I wanted to help him too, said this little girl, but I felt so helpless. Then I got an idea. It didn't seem like much, but I wasn't sure if anyone would listen to me, but I was going to try anyway. And I told him about the prophet Elisha. He was a true man of God, so I knew he had the power to heal my master. So this girl, as she's speaking to us this morning, she's speaking with complete confidence, as though what she did was an ordinary everyday matter, but it wasn't. She could have remained silent. She could have been anonymous and dwelt in safely, but instead she spoke to Nahum's wife one day. It was such a remarkable act. Here's why. Number one, she acted even though she was small. When I had my kids were small, I've got grandkids who are small, and two of them are in university now, believe it or not. But my kids were small. We took them to Mexico every Christmas on a Christmas break. And we took them with 200 or 300 young people to share the gospel. But my kids, the first time I took them, my middle kid was about 8 years old. His name is Andrew. And I thought, my kids, this is their first time in Mexico. They can't do what the other teams. They're learning some phrases, Spanish, and they're going out on the streets to hand out Bibles and literature and sell door to door. I said, I guess I'm going to just take you to some store today because you guys are too little. Can't do anything. And my little Andrew started to cry. He said, I came here to do something for Jesus. I said, yeah, but you're 8 years old. Can't do anything. He says, I learned one phrase in Mexican. Here's a good book. Hello, here's a good book. He just was crying. He said, I want to go with this team. So I put him on a girls' team. I thought, well, at least I don't have to do anything with him. They'll look after him. And I hope he's going to survive. You know what? At the end of the day, he had sold the most books. Everybody didn't look at that little kid, and he went to this big Mexican, and here's a good book. Hello. And you know, people just bought it. They probably felt sorry for him. And he sold more books. He came back, and the girls team said, this little kid inspired us to sell books and Bibles. A little 8-year-old kid. I never, for the impact that he had created, he had inspired everybody in the whole team because he was the smallest. God used him. So she was, this girl, she just did something very small. She was a slave, the lowest anyone could come in social standing. She was an outsider, a Jew living in Syria. She was young. Why would a powerful leader listen to her? She was a female in a male-dominated culture. By the standards of today, she had nothing going for her. No power, no position, no possessions. The only thing she had, what? Was her faith. She had her faith, and that was enough. And God told the Apostle Paul, My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I felt very small when I started working with international students as well, because I never went to university. And I didn't know how I could really reach all these smart people. I couldn't even turn on the computer. My wife had to do all my emails. Till 2 years ago when my son forced me into the iPad. Now I can do emails. Praise God. Now I'm on Facebook. Wow. Some improvement. Now she acted even though what she could do was very small. Just think of that for a moment. Just think of that. What could she do? Naaman had access to the best physicians in the country. Everybody probably had tried to help him and give him all the treatments he could have. Nothing worked. In the midst of all this activity, this little girl, what could she do? After all, she couldn't heal Naaman, nor she could ease his pain. All she could do was make a suggestion to the mistress. Yet she didn't let this little insignificant act stop her. Instead of being discouraged what she could do, she did what she could. All she could do was make a suggestion. I don't know if they're going to listen to me, but I'm going to do that. And then the third point about her act was she acted though the stakes were not small. The stakes were not small. She took a huge risk, because if this guy had gone to Israel and he didn't get healed, guess what? He would be embarrassed. She would be punished. And so she took a huge risk. He would be looking very foolish. So he got permission from the king to go to Syria, if you read the rest of the story. And you know, then he goes to the king. And the king of Israel was very afraid. He said, I can't heal you. I think you're trying to start a war with me. And so the king was really unhappy. And he tore his clothes in grief. He believed that the Syrian king was asking the impossible and trying to start this war. But then prophet Elijah heard that name came. And Elijah told the general what to do. And he went into the Jordan River to wash 7 times. And he was healed. When he listened to the prophet of God, Naaman's skin was restored that day. It was like of a child. More important, his faith also changed. In that moment, he realized God was God, and he sought to worship God the rest of his life. One small person doing a small act made a big difference in his life. And so this girl that's running along us, this race, and she's watching you on this race, and she's saying something to you this morning. But she also is giving these words of encouragement. In these last moments, I give you these 4 points that are in your outline. These words are, if you want to make a difference, be confident. Be confident. My master listened to me because I believed in what I told him. We have a great God. There's nothing he can't do. Live like you believe it. Do you believe we have a great God? Do you believe he wants us to reach the nations? He does. And we can find them right across the streets. We can find them in the coffee shops. We can find them. If they look a little different than me, chances are they come from another country. And they look young, chances are they could be international students. And so I always have these materials with me. Even when I go biking in Port Coquitlam to the beautiful park we have, I have a little box in the back and I carry DVDs that has 18 languages. I don't speak Vietnamese, but I meet them in the park. And when they get a video in their language, boy, they're so happy. I just plant one seed, just a DVD. And you can have them. They're free. So there's no excuse. If you want to make a big difference, be credible. Be credible. I never would have had the courage to speak up if my service had not been pleasing to my master's wife. If she had been lazy, or she left the dirt lying under the bed, or she didn't do her job well, do you think Naaman's wife and Naaman would have listened to her? No, she must have been a very credible person. She must have been a wonderful slave girl, doing her best to please her master. And that's why they listened to her. So her words were credible. People always pay more attention to how you live than what you say. And many people, when they see what I'm doing, they ask me, why are you doing this? Why are you taking this time? Yesterday I took some international scholars. They're not Christians. They have never been at Missions Fest. I took them to the Chinese booths so that they could see what God was doing in China. They were so happy. They had so many questions. If you want to make a difference, big difference, speak to people's needs. What was his need? He was a leper, and she spoke to that need. His need was not television or some latest fancy thing. He was rich. He probably had everything he needed, except he kept help and hope And so the she spoke to people's needs. The last couple of minutes in this message this morning before I close, I want to have Saski come here as an international student. She was in the panel yesterday. Come on up. And and she's probably desperately afraid, shaking in her boots. But she's came here 7 months ago. And I caught her a few weeks ago when she came to 3 focus clubs in 1 week. Can you imagine that? 3, one at UBC, one at SFU, one at Douglas. So she was willing to get up early this morning to share. I want her to share introduction and then share some needs she had as a student when she first came here. Go ahead.
As he said, I go to 3 focus clubs because I really like people who is in focus club. When I came here, my needs was friends who speak English and then family, but my family is in Japan. And then some activity to enjoy with my friends. So the focus club has everything. There is many people who is kind, and they have club activity, weekend activity. They go to mountain to hiking, and they have many activity which I really like. And then, I can practice English with them. And I'm not Christian, but I really interested in the story about Jesus. So I'm enjoying Bible study 3 times a week. So the club is really helpful for me. They help my all of needs.
Yeah. And thanks. When did you come here?
9 months ago.
And when are you going back?
In this May.
You're a university student from Japan.
Yeah.
What do you study in Japan?
I'm studying communication and culture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Communication. So she's learning to communicate to all of you this day. Thank you so much. And I planned to go to Japan, and maybe I will see her in Japan in October. Okay, thank you, Saski.
Thank you. Yeah.
Please feel free to talk to her more so she can practice her English with you. And and then the last thing I have here, the last point, if you want to make a big difference, don't be afraid to do something, even though it seems small. Don't be afraid. Sometimes we are afraid. In fact, I would say fear holds most of us back. Oh, I remember I took Rocky, and my first Chinese student from Shandong province, who was not a Christian, who has so many questions, and he had come here too, way back 10 years ago or 8 years ago, and he transferred to SFU, and then I took him one night to speak at a Burnaby Alliance, Chinese Alliance group, and there's young people like you. And they said, I don't think we can reach these people from mainland China because we don't even speak Chinese. And if we do speak Chinese, we're Cantonese. So we can't really reach these people. And Rocky stood up and said, I don't want Chinese. I need English because that's what the teachers are telling me, that my English is bad. And he said, I want English and I want friends. That's what I want. And suddenly these people's eyes were open and they embraced him and they helped him with his English for the rest of his time in school. They became his group. And so sometimes we have to overcome this fear. I don't speak Chinese. I don't speak their language. I wonder if I even will like their food. And I have to overcome those fears. I'm going back to China this year by God's grace. I'm going to Japan this year. I have to do a wedding in Nagoya in Japan. A Japanese guy is marrying a Chinese girl. They live in UBC. And they said, will you perform our marriage? Wow, get a week vacation in Japan and do a wedding. I'm so blessed to see how God is opening the doors for us. And so the servants' girls has a prayer for us at the end. You want to make a difference? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come to her and ask her for her email. And, I want to visit her in Japan. I want to visit my friends in China. That's why I'm going. And so the last part of this message this morning, we just want to say a prayer this morning. This is Missions Fest. I hope you can come this afternoon. We'll still be there till 5 o'clock. There's seminars, there's workshops. I was touched by Mark Buchanan. and Josh McDowell as they have challenged us to open our eyes to the world. And so this little girl this morning is opening her eyes. She made an impact in another country. She probably didn't speak much Syrian or Arabic. She was a Hebrew girl. But what an impact she made with a leader of the time. I have friends that are in high places in China. Why do they befriend me, a guy that has no money and lives in a small house? You know why? Because they need friends. They need friends, and they appreciate the friendship that I have given to them. And so this girl is saying, you can do something. One small act, you can make a big difference. You can actually take one of these little booklets or these testimonies, pass it on, give it to someone else, share. You'll meet international students everywhere you go. And the government of Canada made an announcement last week, Prime Minister Harper, that if you think we have a lot of students now, just get ready, because they're planning to double the numbers in 4 or 5 years. That is what Canada is planning. They have a strategy because they want their money and they want their jobs. But you know, what about the church? What about you guys? Do you have a strategy? Well, you have, because you have Chinese New Year coming up and we have kids coming here, and we want you to mix with them and be friends with them. Let's say this prayer together at the end. We can repeat it together. God, I ask you that you give my friends understanding that no one is too small to make a big difference for you. Courage to say and do the little things that can impact others' lives, and favor with the big people whose lives can be changed by small acts of kindness. Amen. May God grant us the courage to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.